With.
Oh, hello, everybody. Good gosh, look at you all. You're all very sexy, aren't you? That's great. Good. Oh, I wish I could be there with each and every single one of you. I really do. But hey, you know, the wonders of technology and all that sort of stuff. So I'm there in spirit, if nothing else.
So if you guys have questions, anyone else, you can come to the mics and you can ask it, and I'm going to type it. You can hear me, right?
Yeah. I can hear you perfectly. So you can probably just repeat the question. No need to type it.
Hello? Oh, hi. Hi, my name is Gorette, and thank you so much for the great presentation. That was fabulous. My question is, all those things that you were suggesting we do in our business all make sense, but at what point do you do it? So if you're just starting a business and you don't have cash flow and you're trying to figure it all out, is that the right time to do it, or is it when you're a little bit more established?
Okay, so I can almost hear that perfectly. It was like, when is basically the best time to hire for the first time? Is that it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, you'll know. You will hit overwhelm quite solidly, and your body will start telling you. And being that you guys are all like in the wellness industry, I would have thought that you all learn to listen to your bodies properly, like I had to after I did my back in. No, ultimately, you know, overwhelm will hit. And like I said at the beginning of the presentation, you'll come to that fork in the road. You'll have to make a decision one way or the other to either carry on doing it all on your own and burn out, or to ultimately go ahead and start building the team. And once you have that clear definition that the time is now, the time is right, and I need to do it now, then at that point, you want to get to the point of just really just starting with baby steps to begin with. So, you know, like I say, do the odd task, you know, get the logo done, get the transcription work done. And, you know, the beautiful thing is, for us running online businesses, we can utilize these virtual workers for practically anything nowadays. And, you know, one of the things that I see over and over again with coaching clients of mine is that they haven't done the right things, like setting up a mailing list properly, producing a good quality opt-in magnet. I'm not going to use the word bribe because it sounds a bit dodgy, but you know, getting to the point of really offering something of insane value that delivers a real quick win, you know, that sort of type of thing can just be a very simple transcription turned into a small ebook, or maybe just a top 10 checklist or something like that. So there's a lot of work that you can outsource, but just getting started, you'll know.
Hi, Chris. Okay, I had a virtual assistant who I basically put all my eggs in one basket. She was my GVA, and she needed more money, and I couldn't afford to pay her, so basically I was kind of trapped. I had to take it all over. How do you prevent somebody from kind of holding you by the balls and losing them? Or let's say they're in the Philippines and they have, you know, a storm and their internet's down for weeks. How do you prevent that?
Okay, so that was coming in and out a little bit. Can you repeat that, Laurie, for me?
Sure.
I'm pretty sure I heard the word balls at some point.
So she put all of her eggs in one basket, and
okay,
her GVA had her by the balls, and also had a sticky. And then also how to handle when, for example, you're working with virtual workers and they have a storm or something happens and they're not responding. How do you prevent all of that from happening?
Okay, well, you can't prevent nature, obviously, right? All we can do as business owners is, you know, really try and put as much redundancy in place as we possibly can. And that's why I say it's really, really important for us to hire for the role and not necessarily for the individual tasks themselves. You know, the chances are that person that you had working for you was probably trying to work on a number of different roles all rolled into one, that kind of super VA mentality, which really does not exist. You can't find one person to do everything. So, you know, you might have somebody, you know, managing your, you know, your social media and your blog and your podcast uploads and things like that. But that doesn't mean that they can then become a video editor as well as a transcriptionist for you as well, right? So I think one of the ways to really make sure that you don't put all your eggs in one basket and end up having your balls actually held by somebody, is to really build the team with redundancy in mind, right? It's important to understand that, yes, if somebody disappears on you or if they start, you know, acting silly and they're doing everything for you, it's going to spell catastrophe at some point in the future. So just bear that in mind and really build for the role. Build the team based on the roles rather than trying to collect a ton of tasks together. And as for things like storms and things like that, obviously, when you've got the redundancy in place and you've got maybe two or three people working for you on a number of different roles rather than just mishmashing all those tasks together, you know, the chances of all those people being in one area that's going to get hit by a typhoon or, you know, a storm or an earthquake or something like that, they're pretty slim. And that's why even me now, when I build my own team, I look at the other, you know, different geographical areas here in the Philippines for my virtual staff as well. So I might have one or two here in Cebu, which is a little south compared to where Manila is. I might have one in Manila, maybe a little bit north up in Luzon area, as they call it. So really just build the business with redundancy. You know, the same could be said for everything from bank accounts and suppliers and everything else that you have within your business too. I hope your balls are okay now, by the way.
Does anybody else have any other questions? Okay, go to the mics. Yeah, you can just, it's easier if you guys line up, so then we can hit them one after the other.
So for the business models that a lot of us are trained to do, which are direct response marketing, we are taught to really understand our target audience. And then the tools that we use to market these stuff, like Facebook ads and maybe SEOs, really need us to understand that kind of theories. So would you advise training the VAs to know how to do Facebook ads? Because as far as I know, like Amy Porterfield and the best people who can do Facebook ads don't outsource these tasks.
So do you work with VAs to run your Facebook ads? Should you train VAs to run your Facebook ads? Because it seems like you, Amy Porterfield, all of the big sort of heavy-duty marketers don't either talk about your VAs running your ads for you or you don't have them.
Okay, so I run Facebook ads. I've only just started doing it, truth be told. I'm not a big fan of paid traffic. I believe that the best kind of traffic that you can bring to your website, regardless of what you're doing on it, is organic. So, and we all know that to do that today, you need to create extremely good quality, original, valuable, helpful content. And that's really what I focus in within my business now. All I'm doing is really, I'm a content creator. Everybody else manages and runs the businesses for me. So I blog, I podcast, I do videos, I do ebooks and all that sort of stuff. I speak and all that stuff. So my focus is content marketing. And like I said, just recently I've got involved with Facebook and, you know, it's so darn powerful because of the way that you can target right the way down to cities and demographics and age groups and inside leg measurements. That's not there yet, but the chances are it will be at some point. But, you know, you really, it's so strong to do it. But the problem is this, and particularly here in the Philippines, a lot of Filipinos, they don't get it. The Filipino VAs, in fact, actually VAs, period. Like I've heard stories of people working with VAs in Eastern Europe, even locally in, you know, US and the UK, Australia, places like that as well. You either know how to run Facebook ads or you don't. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't train somebody how to do it, obviously. But if you yourself don't have any knowledge on how to do it, then you're not going to be able to train them. So the way that I went about it and the way that I know a lot of bigger marketers go about it as well is actually hire Facebook ad specialists and ad managers to run their campaigns for them. It can be costly. But I think one of the reasons why Facebook is so attractive for small business owners is that it's so darn cheap. Once you hit a really good stride with your ad copy and images and things like that, it's so cheap to run the ads in the first place that ultimately paying somebody to set them up and manage them and split test them and all that sort of stuff, it's kind of almost like a good investment to make. So I would say, don't actually get a VA to manage Facebook ads for you. Hire somebody that really knows what they're doing. Otherwise, you're just going to be throwing good money away.
Awesome. Go ahead.
My question's around money and paying the virtual assistants. Is there a place where we can go to find out what's a fair market offer, and how do we manage that?
Did you hear that?
Okay. I heard a little bit, but why don't you go ahead and repeat for me?
A place where they can go, so you can mention your freebie, a place where they can go to find out about fair market value for paying VAs and expectations and hourly rates and things like that.
Oh, cool. Okay. So I'll send you a link through right now, Laurie. I don't know whether this is going to pop up on the screen or not.
It will. Perfect.
Okay. So there's a link to our free salary guide at Virtual Staff Finder. This has been downloaded over 20,000 times in the last couple of years, and it's updated at least two, sometimes three times a year with actual rates for paying Filipino VAs in all of the different roles that I went. Remember the little circle that I went through at the beginning of the presentation with all the different individual staff? So, yeah, basically you can download that, and it's got all the info in regards to bonuses, incentives, how to pay them, how not to pay them, and all that sort of stuff as well. But ultimately, it really comes down to two or three main guidelines. Number one, first and foremost, pay them what they're worth, not necessarily what market conditions are telling you they should be paid. So, you know, if I believed every so-called outsourcing guru that I see online telling me that I can pay workers here in the Philippines $1.50, I wouldn't have a business with 300 people in it because I would have gone bankrupt already. None of my staff are going to get out of bed for $1.50 an hour. I can tell you that right now. So, you know, pay them what they're worth. Number two is to pay them on time. There is absolutely no excuse on the planet for paying staff late. From the day that I've been in business, I've never missed a payroll, and I suggest you don't too either, because they're working hard for you and they must get paid on time. And the third one is really to make sure that you throw a curveball every now and then, give them a little tough project to work on, but when they do a great job, reward them with some kind of financial bonus or incentive. So, you know, for us in the West, or with that Western mindset, you know, a good dinner is what? For dinner for two, $120, $150 bucks with a bottle of wine, right? For these guys, that's their rent, that's their electricity and that's their internet for like the entire month. So what happens to be a relatively small bonus for us to give them, for them, it's huge in the grand scale of things.
Awesome. Next question.
Hey, how you doing, Chris? My name's Ray.
Good God, nice thank God. There's actually a man there. That's good.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a man here.
Oh, there's another one. We should have them stuffed and just sort of put near the entrance or something like that. Okay.
my question to you is, when you get to that level of becoming a manager and you're managing every little operation, how do you know when to hire, like when you're hiring the GVA? Because you listed three key points on how to hire everybody else. Is there other specific points on how to hire your main conduit to everybody else? So that GVA is the conduit from you. So you're delegating now to him all of the A, B, C, D, E, F positions that are available for your company. How do you hire that GVA? Because he is going to be a representative of you. And then knowing, like, I might be confusing you, sorry. But knowing that you're at the manager position, you got to remove yourself to that next level and pull yourself out so you could delegate more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure, it does. Okay. So I got almost all of that. So, you know, you'll know when you're starting to make your first hire. You know, you'll kind of know how big your team is probably going to go based on the type of business you're running, the kind of niche you're in, and that sort of type of thing. Am I coming through okay, Laurie? I'm starting to chop it. Okay, great. So, you know, depending on how big you think your team is going to be will depend how you make that first hire on the GVA. And I know it's a little bit of an unknown because you might blow up and become a multi-gazillionaire and, you know, need a whole bunch of people. But on the whole, when you're hiring that GVA, and I go into this in great detail inside the book with, like, I think there's 15 different interview questions or something like that on there. But on the whole, when you're hiring that GVA, once that GVA is on board and they've been with you for a certain period of time, once that's happened, over that period of time, you'll see them grow. You'll see them get stronger. You'll see them understand your business a lot more and get your company culture and your customer culture a lot more as well. And because of that, they'll become the natural person that you want to promote and get up to that project management role where you are then ultimately working with that person, and that person is then going ahead and working with the rest of the team. Because otherwise, if you don't do that, you've become a manager of people and not a manager of your business. And we don't want that to happen. So, you know, you've got to go almost full circle before you can start reversing back and meet yourself somewhere in the middle in regards to that freedom component. But ultimately, your GVA after, you know, depending on what their experience level is when they come into your business in the first place, your GVA should be 6 months, 12 months, maybe 18 months away from being that very, very natural promotional person to be able to get into that project manager role, if that makes sense.
So they would be with you kind of from the start, or when would you delegate the hiring of them, the GVA?
You cut up a little bit. What was that, Laurie?
Would they be with you, like, you know, from when you're starting to hire everybody for the positions that you're looking for?
So he's asking, would the GVA be with you as you hire out lower end positions? Like, you would do it alongside the GVA?
Yeah, I mean, at first you might want to do it alongside them, and so, you know, so they can get your kind of hiring mentality a little bit. But I can tell you right now, I haven't hired a VA for over 3 years. I've had my main GVA, her name is Michelle. I've had her, she's been with me 5 years now, and I've had her hire out all the contractors and all of the freelancers and all of the part and full-time VAs herself, because, you know, she's been with me for a while. She knows what my hiring kind of culture is and what we're looking for as a company as well. So I tell her what I need. She will then fire it up on one of those job posting sites. Well, 9 times out of 10, we use our internal process at Virtual Staff Finder, obviously. And then she'll come back to me usually with 2 or 3 decent candidates for me to interview, and we'll just sort of finalize it like that. But, you know, in fact, that being said, the last 3 hires, I haven't even interviewed them. She's done the final interview and just hired them. I trust her that much now. So that will happen over time. But obviously, she's been with me for quite some time. But ultimately, yeah, you do want to be sort of working with them quite closely to begin with, and then slowly slipping away.
Crystal here. First and foremost, thank you for your time. The question that I have is more on the inside of your company. Like, what are the expertise in these VAs? And do they have ongoing support or education to keep up with technology and how things are moving forward? Like, what kind of professionals are we hiring as VAs?
Can you repeat that, Laurie?
So she's asking, what kind of professionals, like what skill set do these VAs have, and what education or coaching or training should we be providing to help them flourish?
Oh. Yeah, what kind of training does he offer for the VAs? Because I'm assuming there's an internal training.
Personally?
Yes.
His company?
Yes.
Oh, what kind of training does your company offer for the VAs?
Mean like internally or to clients?
Yes, internally.
Internally.
Like everything is
internally.
What's your training constantly process?
Evolving. So, I mean, you know, we have about 70 training videos in place, plus a lot of different process and system flows and things like that as well. But bear in mind, we've been doing this for a long time, right? So, I mean, depending on the position that they're being hired for, as well as obviously what their experience level is when they join our team, will depend on how much training they actually need. But like I said in the keynote there, you know, even if they have a certain amount of experience and skill set in place, they've never actually done this work for us before. So, you know, we kind of do train them with a clean slate per se, but understanding obviously that if they're being hired as a web developer, we're not programmers. We expect them to know PHP and CSS and HTML and all those other silly abbreviations that I have no intention of wanting to learn. And, you know, because it just gives me a nosebleed just thinking about it. But, you know, we expect them to be at a certain level. But, you know, this is the way we want our websites coded. This is the way we want our websites put together and managed and updated and backed up and all this sort of stuff. So, yeah, you know, you definitely need to spend time training them, but it really depends on the role. It really depends on the role. But like I said, with the VA training trifecta there in the presentation, video is like king for this stuff, because it's not just audio, but it's very visual, and you're building up that encyclopedia of training videos over a period of time. And we have had VAs leave us before in the past, and obviously we've been able to be able to just say to the new one that comes on board, hey, today we want you to watch, you know, video number 6, 12, and 14 and get up to speed on those tasks, and we don't have to do the training over and over again. So I absolutely suggest that you start utilizing video in training from the get-go, because it makes your life way easier for the long term.
Next one.
Hi, my name's Michelle. I've hired some virtual assistants before, and I didn't even know you could interview them beforehand. So what is your process? How do you interview them? Do you Skype? Do you call? Do you just do it online?
So she was saying that she's hired VAs, but she didn't know that she could interview them. And so what is your process? Do you Skype? Do you interview them online? What's your interview process?
So depending on what the VA is being hired for, we may or may not interview them over Skype ourselves. If it's a one-off task, then we probably won't, to be honest with you. So let's say, for example, we've got a 45-minute audio recording that we want transcribed and put into a Word document. That doesn't need an interview. That just needs the task to be done. So we see if they've got the relevant experience, if they've got any samples, any references maybe, but ultimately we'll probably just take the punt and go ahead and get that one-off task done without any interview at all. But when you're hiring for a role, when you're bringing somebody on board within your business, then that's a different ballgame. You know, with every hire that you make, you're investing not only money, but you know how I feel about time. And time is our most valuable commodity. So we've got to make sure that when we bring somebody on board, we know them as well as we possibly can. And Skype is the perfect way to be able to interview someone. You find people here in the Philippines particularly, though, they can sometimes be a little bit shy with their surroundings. You know, a lot of Filipino VAs will live with, you know, not only immediate but extended family members as well. So sometimes they might be in a slightly smaller environment. Sometimes there might be a lot of things going on behind their workstation. It doesn't mean they can't get their work done. I want to clarify that. But it does mean they might be a little reluctant to get on video straight away. But I would absolutely suggest that you at least have a Skype audio interview with them before you make a decision to hire somebody. I certainly would not hire somebody for my company as a role, as a genuine team member, without having a proper interview with them first. Don't skip that. That's a recipe for disaster.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome. Next one.
Hi. I'm just wondering how it works with confidentiality. So if you're having a virtual assistant get in contact with some of your clients and you're passing along that information, so say their name and their phone number, or they have full access to your schedule where clients have put in their name, their address, their email, and you're just asking the VAs to get in contact with them to follow up over phone to book their next appointment or schedule a missed appointment or something like that. Is that something you can drop in a contract? Is that legal? Is that okay? Is it HIPAA compliant?
He probably doesn't know what HIPAA compliant is. So we have licensed practitioners who have to follow very strict, it's called HIPAA, so it's their compliance, okay, like doctors, right? Confidentiality. And so the question was, what safeguards can you put in place, or can you draw up contracts for VAs to ensure that they are maintaining very stringent and specific confidentiality rules around the sharing of personal information, health records, things like that, for following up with these doctors' clients?
Yeah, great question. I mean, the problem is, if the VA is not residing within your company, rather within your country, whatever NDA or agreement or contract that you have in place with them, it could be 158 pages long. It's not going to be worth the paper it's printed on, quite frankly, unless they're residing within your country. So if something is really important to you like that, and the confidentiality and everything, all the guidelines that you've got to abide by are really that important with that particular role, you're going to have to stay close to the home, plain and simple. You know, I have a lawyer here in the Philippines. I have a lawyer back in the UK, and I also have a lawyer in the United States. Why do I have three different lawyers? Because I do business in all of those three countries. There's different rules, there's different guidelines, different things to work on and focus on. And so, you know, you've got to sometimes stay a little bit closer to home, plain simple. But, you know, I always suggest that you at least have just a simple NDA in place with VAs at the very least, because at least that point, you know, it's a bit of a scare tactic and a bit of a security blanket for you to you know, in a certain degree as well. And at least your VA knows that, you know, this is serious business. I'm getting you to sign this because, you know, I need to be, you know, I need to be assured that you're not going to be blabbing on Twitter about, you know, how big my mailing list is or something along those lines. So, you know, obviously if somebody wants to be a horrible person and starts, you know, talking a load of smack about you on Twitter, they're going to do that anyway, regardless of whether they've got a piece of paper in place or not. So it really just comes down to making the hire. Remember, every single hire you make, regardless of whether it's physical right there in your backyard or whether it's on the other side of the world at an arm's length, every hire you make is a risk. It doesn't matter where the people are in the world that you bring on board to your business as team members. If they want to be silly, they're going to be silly. So just, you know, try and make the best decisions you can.
Is that non-disclosure agreement?
I was just going to say an NDA is a non-disclosure agreement.
Thanks.
Okay. And so I have a question because no one's asking it. What platforms do you use to secure passwords? Do you give VAs PayPal passwords, credit cards, banking information? Can you just share a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, I certainly don't give my bank account information to anybody. Maybe I think the wife has it, which could be, I don't know. she's a good girl. And she's not here, so there you go. Generally, financial speaking, keep that stuff about as close as your chest as you can probably do so. I have a separate PayPal account other than my main business one that usually has about $1,000 sitting in it that my VA can use for purchasing things online or setting up maybe test accounts with, you know, online tools if you want to test them out for a few months or something along those lines. But there's never usually any more than like $1,000 in there. As for other passwords, you know, you can use a service like LastPass, which is my absolute favorite one. I'll send it through right now. LastPass.com. What it basically does is it encrypts your passwords across all these other platforms so that your VA only uses one. And it's a really, really cool little service. It's like $1 a month, and I use it with all my VAs, and it's great.
Awesome. Any other questions? No? Oh, okay. Thank you. We're good.
Are you sure that's it? Yeah. Wow. Okay. I feel like I've gotten away with not doing a whole lot of work today.
You can do a song and dance if you want.
No, that's definitely not going to happen. Okay. I do a terrible moonwalk, and Amazing. It's usually mojito infused, and there's no mojitos here right now.
Awesome. Do you just want to share again where people can find your book and reach out to you?
Sure. Yeah. So if you guys want to pick up the book, you can. It's called Virtual Freedom, and you can just go to Amazon.ca over in Canada or .com, whatever you prefer, and you can get that over. Just type in Virtual Freedom, simple as that. And if you want to find out a ton, there's an absolute ton of content on my blog in regards to VAs and working with VAs and things like that at chrisducker.com. And be sure to opt in there on my mailing list as well, because I send out tons of little freebies and things like that as well. So I'd love to see you over there and sort of just so you can, you know, try and get up to date things and keep up to date with everything that I'm putting together as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. It's been amazing. And I hope everybody got a lot out of it. Did we get a lot out of it? On the count of three, can we all say thank you, Chris? 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Chris.
It's like my first virtual round of applause of 2015. So it's very dear to my heart. Now, I very much appreciate being part of the summit. I wish I could have been there. Timing was not right with the scheduling. But if you will have me in the future at some point, I'd love to come and help you guys in person at some point if I can as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, everybody. Good luck with your businesses.
Thank you.